Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're excited as we continue working through some of our transition stuff here, and so excited for God's faithfulness and all that. So we are continuing our series, People of the Spirit, and we've been asking a simple but important question. What does it mean to be people of the Spirit? What does it look like when the Holy Spirit shapes our identity and our activity? And this is what we know. Spirit-filled identity always produces Spirit-filled activity. And so we've talked about how Spirit-filled people love Jesus deeply and live generously out of His abundance. So last week, I gave you a homework assignment. How many remember homework from church? All right, good. A few of us, which was to do an act of generosity every day. And I would just continue, challenge you to continue to be generous. Well, today we are going to look at another aspect of Spirit-filled living. And so today we're going to talk about practicing discernment. We're going to talk about practicing discernment. Now, what is discernment? Discernment is the process. Everybody say the process. If you're Canadian, you can say process. Discernment is the process and the skill. Everybody say skill. All right, let's try that again. We'll start at the beginning. Discernment is the process, say process, and the skill, say skill, of evaluating the quality of something. It's a process and a skill to evaluate the quality of something. It's how we determine what is good, what is true, and ultimately what aligns with God's way. Now, we homeschool, and so we've done it for all of our kids, and I get to be the math teacher because the best subject in school is math. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Okay, how many here love math? Let's hear for math.
Yeah.
Okay, for those who don't like math, let's hear for everything but math. How many are just glad you're out of school? Yeah, right? But in math, so I teach my kids math, and so, you know, we'll teach them equations and working through things, and then we'll give them I'll give them an assignment, and then we got to grade it, and you look at some of the answers, and you go, like, where is your brain on this one? And so I taught my children something that as you look at an answer, you need to ask yourself the question, does it pass the smell test? How many of you know what the smell test is? Like, in our house, it looks like this. Rachel will open the fridge, she'll grab some meat, and she'll go, Dave, is this good? She'll open it and stuff it in my nose. And I'm like, whoa, it's either a yes or a no. How many know what I'm talking about with the smell test? Did you know that God was strategic when He put your nose above your mouth? Because it's a first line of defense, it's supposed to be, before what goes in. Now, don't ask me about lutefisk or, what's that cheese? Limburger cheese. Don't ask how that happened, but somehow that did. That passed. Anybody here know what lutefisk is? Yeah, how about Limburger cheese? Oh, blessed stuff. But anyways, does it pass the smell test? Now, how many of you, when you were a kid, when you had to eat something you didn't like, you plugged your nose? How many did that? Did you know that plugging your nose, because actually your nose buds and your taste buds, it's your olfactory bulbs, but I like to say nose buds, there's a connection between the two. And so if you can close your nose enough, you can actually bypass and try and slam the stuff down. Now, this I think is kind of interesting, because physically, we understand the importance of both the process and the skill of determining whether something is appropriate to consume. And just as we do it physically, I want you to know for our lives, there is an incredible need to be able to practice discernment. We actually, in our lives, need a filtering process. We need a way by which to evaluate what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're feeling, and what we're being invited into. We need an ability to know if something is from God. And the thing that everybody needs to understand is discernment is not automatic. And this is why I say there's a process of discernment, but there's also a skill that is developed over time. Now, one author said this, discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate, to actually choose. It is the ability to see issues clearly. And we desperately need to cultivate the spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. Like, we need an ability to discern. And for spirit-filled people, they practice discernment because they realize this, that decisions impact destiny. How many know that our decisions that we make today impact where we end up tomorrow? How many of you live from decisions that you made in the past, and you're like going, boy, I wish I wouldn't have made that decision. And you look back and you go, if I had the opportunity to go back and change some decisions, if I knew now what I knew then, and if I knew now, way back then, I would make a different decision. And part of that is because through time you develop this capacity to begin to discern. And we understand that decisions impact destiny and that our choices matter. And so because of it, we actually have to practice this whole concept of discernment. Now, as people, part of this human being stuff, how many know that we are easily deceived and distracted? How many know we can be easily deceived and distracted? Okay, real quick, how many of you have looked at your phone for non-church related stuff already in church today? Jimmy? No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, looking. So poor Matthew in the first service, because the hockey game is on. He's just like, he's sitting there watching a hockey game and trying to listen to a sermon. I mean, I didn't point it out in the first service because I was invested, but now it doesn't matter. But anyways, you know, but you know how it is. We're easily distracted. And not only are we easily distracted, but we're also easily deceived. So Paul will say this. So he's writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 4, and he talks about this, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. That the God of this age, like this world that we live in, that the spirit of the age has a way of blinding people to what's good. And part of the reason why is if you read further on in the book, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, it says this, that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And so how many know sometimes there's stuff that's presented to us as something that's good and beneficial? It will make your life wonderful, but it doesn't always do it. And let me tell you, this is why as God's people, as spirit-filled people, we need to practice and we need to develop spiritual discernment. Because deception is real, so discernment must be too. And so as we think through this idea, I got a big idea. It's really simple, and that's this, that better discernment leads to better decisions. How many here want to make some better decisions in life? How many sitting next to someone who should be making better decisions in life, and you're like going, you need this message, right? And if they fall asleep, just nudge them, right? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 14. I want to look at a couple verses, and we're just going to kind of think around this idea of spiritual discernment. And so what we're going to see as we come to John chapter 14, Jesus is meeting with his disciples on the night he is betrayed. It's the night before he is crucified. And he's sharing with his disciples because he knows that in just a little bit, he's not going to be able to be with them like he's been with them for the previous 3 years. That life is going to look a little bit different. And so he says these things in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay, so what Jesus is doing, and if you read John chapter 14 all the way through 16, you'll find again and again, he's going to talk about this advocate. He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers. Now, when he began his chapter 14, you'll see after he washes their feet and they have a little bit of a discussion, Jesus says this to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Like, he knew everything that was going to take place. He knew the fears that would arise. He knew the confusions that would swirl. And he just wants them to know this, that even though they are going to enter into a time of uncertainty and unknowing, that they will not walk alone in life. And this is the first thing that I want you to understand this morning as we talk about spiritual discernment, is that as followers of Christ, we don't journey through life alone. We don't journey through life alone. Jesus said this, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." It's interesting because the word there for another is a unique Greek word that talks about another of a same kind. So in the Greek, there's a differentiation. You could have another of a different kind, or you can have another of the same kind. And what Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to know, I'm going to send you an advocate, another of the same kind. And just so you know, remember when I quoted earlier from John chapter, 1 John chapter 2, right? It says, I write these things in order that you might not sin, but just in case you do sin. We have one who speaks to you, speaks to God in our defense. That word there for speaks to you or speaks to God in our defense is the same word that's used here for advocate. It's the same word. And we see in 1 John 2, 1, it's speaking about Jesus. And now what Jesus is saying is, hey, I want you to understand that I am going to send you another advocate, another of the same kind. And as we see the beginning of John, where it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the kind that this is going to be is this is going to be God. This is going to be the Spirit of truth. This is going to be the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And this Holy Spirit is going to be our advocate, one who comes alongside us to help us, who will be with us forever. You see, as followers of Jesus, what we have to understand is that even though in our days there's lots of uncertainty and there's ups and downs and we wrestle with brokenness, we never journey alone. Have you ever had those moments where you feel like you're all alone? We're like, does anybody know? Does anybody see? Does anybody care? I want you to know every moment of your life as a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. You are never alone. It doesn't matter how dark it feels. It doesn't matter what it is that others may be saying around you. I want you to understand that as we come to faith in Christ, the Spirit of God is with us and we are never alone. And we never journey through life alone. And it's important to understand the Holy Spirit with us is the Spirit of truth. And as the Spirit of the truth, he is the one who helps us see clearly when everything around us feels blurry. Now, if you're one of those that are glasses dependent, how many of you are glasses or contact lens dependent, right? How many know you can take your glasses off and it's surprising how people look so much better? No, I'm just kidding. How many of you know you take your glasses off? For you who are glasses dependent, I'm like that. It's pretty blurry out. How many of you know you can live, but you live kind of differently when it's blurry? Does that make sense? And what you need is you need something that will help you see clearly so that you can navigate and function in the world. And this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Spirit of truth helps us see clearly in the midst of a world that can be all sorts of things. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit at work in our life. See, wherever we are, whatever we face, we have a dynamic helper. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And so as we start talking about spiritual discernment, you'll find that it is connected to the fact that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth lives within us. The second thing I want you to note from this passage is this, is that God wants to be involved in our moments. Understand, the Holy Spirit given to us isn't just to help us get to heaven someday. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us live the life that we were created for today. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. If you take time to read through John, if you take time to read through the Bible, you'll find some different things about what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit at work in our life will guide us. He will provide direction when paths are unclear. It's the Spirit that helps guide us as we navigate life's journey. It's the Spirit of God that wants to teach us, to help shape our understanding so that we reflect Christ. I love this part. The Holy Spirit, you know what else the Holy Spirit does? Not only does the Holy Spirit help guide and teach us, but the Holy Spirit helps convict us. Now, how many of you like conviction? I like it on other people, but not me. So conviction is that sense, that wait, you're going too far. Anybody have these moments? Wait, you went too far. That the Holy Spirit, I love this, God cares about us so much. He loves us as we are, but he's not content to leave us as we are. And so he provides the Holy Spirit in order to help direct our lives, to teach, to guide us, but also to convict us. You see, the Holy Spirit in some ways begins to turn on the warning lights when we begin to drift. And the Holy Spirit, like God cares about us much. He uses the Holy Spirit to help course correct, providing divine interruptions for our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that conviction. We need guidance. We need teaching. We need conviction. We also understand what the Holy Spirit also provides for us is comfort. That the Holy Spirit helps steady our souls in a broken world as we deal with brokenness. That sometimes we go through difficult days and difficult moments and we're just like, I don't know how to get through it. And the Spirit of God begins to surround us with his comfort and his care. And he reminds us of who we are. And not only who we are, but also whose we are. Another aspect of the Spirit of God being at work in our life, not only is to guide, to teach, to convict, to comfort, but also to empower us and enable us to live God's purpose. You see, God wants to be involved in all of our moments. And he uses the Holy Spirit to help us discern what he's doing so that we can work through and live through these moments. It was Jesus as he taught his disciples, and we'll hear echoes of this again in Revelation, where Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit loves and longs to speak to our lives and to speak into our moments. How many of you are in the midst of moments right now? Some good, some bad, some frustrating, some uncertainty. And the Holy Spirit loves and longs to speak into those moments. The third thing that I want to note as we think about this whole idea of practicing discernment is that growing our spiritual sensitivity increases our missional impact. The more sensitive we become to the Spirit, the more available we become for God's mission. That really the Spirit of God wants to lead and direct and help us step into and serve and live the purpose that we were created for. Because again, God has purpose for our lives. And so the Holy Spirit comes to help us. And as we grow in our spiritual sensitivity, it helps us step into that purpose in greater and greater ways. You see, we need discernment. We need spiritual discernment through this relationship with the Holy Spirit because better discernment leads to better decisions. So how is it that we begin to develop the practice? How do we begin to practice discernment? So I chose practice discernment because how many know this is something that you have to keep learning as you go through life? You never quite get there all the time, so you keep practicing. You keep learning, you keep growing. So how do we grow in discernment? So I want to note four really quick things, and everybody says four and quick. How do those go together? Let me tell you. First one is this. You got to learn to ask the question. Like the first thing that you got to do, if you want to grow in discernment, you have to learn to ask the question. And everybody's like, what's the question? Everybody needs to ask the question. And part of this is my homework, my challenge to you. As you go through your week, whether you're at the house, whether you're on the road, I want you just to practice asking this question. And the question is this, God, what are you up to in this moment? God, what are you up to in this moment? How many know that God is a part of all our moments? And God's trying to do something. And part of discernment is learning to ask the question, God, what are you up to in this moment? Discernment begins with curiosity. Instead of simply reacting, we pause. Instead of assuming, we ask. And instead of rushing, we take time to lean into his presence. See, I know what happens between Sunday and Sunday. How many know that Sunday is often a blessed time because it seems like somewhat conflict-free in a service, and then you go home and you run into a bumpy world. And it's in those moments that we need to stop and ask, okay, God, even in this place, what are you doing in this moment? Holy Spirit, what are you speaking? Holy Spirit, what is it that you see? Because God wants to help us navigate through the things that we're facing. And so we have to ask the question. Secondly, what we have to do is we actually have to sensitize our hearts. See, as we begin to ask the question, God, what are we doing? We actually have to create space to listen. What is the Holy Spirit stirring? What is He whispering? One of the things that I have come to know in life is simply this. So if you read the Beatitudes, so Jesus has the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. It says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How many remember this one? Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. There's an important lesson in this, and the lesson is this. Purity enables clarity. Purity enables clarity. And part of this idea of beginning to sensitize our hearts to what the Spirit is speaking and moving is actually what we have to do is we have to, that sensitivity requires a clear heart. And because of it, we actually have to deal with sin. How many know that in our lives, we often fail to live up to the standards we set for ourselves? How many of you set standards for yourselves and you get a little frustrated because you don't live up to it? You're like, I'm going to be a better person. I'm not going to shoot off at the mouth. I'm not going to say something that's going to make the situation worse. I'm not going to explode. I'm not going to yell. And we have all these expectations, and we're like going, oh my goodness, the right situations arise, and we don't even meet our standard. So here's the thing. How many know we're imperfect and we can't reach imperfect standards? What happens when it comes to a perfect God and His perfect standards for our lives? Well, if we can't meet our imperfect standards, there's no way we can meet His perfect standards. It's actually one of the definitions of sin is this. You know the verse, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the word for sin there is this idea that you fail to miss, that you miss the mark, that you fail to hit the target, you fail to arise to the standard. And one of the things that happens in our life that we have to understand, when we willfully reject God's standard, when we begin to sin, when we begin to say the things and we begin to miss the standards that He's called us to, one of the things that happens to our hearts that we need to understand is they actually become hardened. And you know this, like there were things, if you remember when you were younger, that there were things that were forbidden, you know, they were forbidden. You're like, you don't do these things. And then there was that moment where you're like, going, do I not? And you kind of leaned in and you know, maybe your mom or your dad said, don't do this. And you're like, and you stepped into it. And there was all that emotion, but you're like, I'm just going to do it. And you did it. And you're like, oh, and all of a sudden you start feeling guilty. Oh no, I did this. And you wrestle through all this. But as humans continue to do things, especially sinful things, it actually deadens the heart. And you can get to the place where it no longer bothers you. So in a society like ours, with the, you know, the prevalence of pornography everywhere, people can look at it and say, yeah, that's nothing. That's common, that's standard. When it comes to things like gossiping, I can tell everybody their story and, you know, we'd spread all this stuff and it doesn't bother us. And it begins to desensitize our hearts. You see, sin is corrosive and keeps us from hearing what God has for us. And this is why part of this, like, how do you begin to practice discernment? Well, we got to begin to ask the question, but we also have to begin to address the issues of our own heart. And the way we do that is through confession and repentance. See, this idea of confession is just coming before God and saying, God, you know what? I recognize that, you know what? I've missed the mark in this. That, Lord, you've said this is wrong, but I've stepped into it again. And Lord, would you forgive me? And see, we have to develop a sensitive heart, because if we don't have a sensitive heart, the Spirit of God can speak to us and try and warn us and guide us and direct us. And if our hearts are hard, we won't hear. And we'll continue headlong into things that ruin and wreck our lives. And so we need the Spirit of God to to do some stuff in us. And part of it for us is saying, okay, Holy Spirit, are there areas in my life that I need your grace to begin to transform my heart? David would pray this prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart, know my every anxious thought, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's God, just search my heart. Because part of developing sensitivity is dealing with our sin. Additionally, another thing that happens to sensitize our heart is learning to quiet our hearts in God's presence, where we just make space to listen, where we shut down the distractions and we just take moments just to listen to what it is that God wants to say, speak. Another way to sensitize our hearts, I believe, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It tells us in Acts chapter 2 that they spoke as the Spirit enabled. I love that verse because I think it's a beautiful picture of what a Spirit-filled life looks like. It says they spoke as the Spirit enabled. So who did the speaking? Well, the disciples were doing the speaking. Who was doing the enabling? The Holy Spirit. And that just simply means the Spirit of God was stirring something in them, and they began to give voice to what it was that the Spirit was doing. And one of the things that I think is so important is to develop our relationship with God in such a way where we are seeking the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to sensitize our hearts to the leading and working of the Holy Spirit. I want to invite the worship team to come. Two more things real quickly, how to sensitize our hearts. How to discern, practice discernment. So the first thing we mentioned was asking the question, what is God up to in this moment? Secondly, is sensitizing our heart. Thirdly, it's about evaluating our hearing. The scripture says this, test the spirits. Don't quench the spirit. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. Please understand that discernment is not blind acceptance. It is spirit-led evaluation. Like what discernment is, it is spirit-led evaluation. And there are a couple parameters that help us in this process. One is the Word of God. This is why as a church we keep telling you, hey, get in God's Word, study His Word, learn His Word, wrestle with His Word, interact with His Word, because what you'll find in God's Word are the parameters that that God uses to communicate. You begin to discover what God's heart is, what His purpose is. And if we're going to evaluate, we need to evaluate every sensing and prompting that we have through the lens of Scripture. Does what I'm sensing align with God's Word? Because part of the discernment is learning to filter our stuff through the lens of God's Word. But not only do we send it through the lens of God's Word, it's also important for us to discern within community. Now, in a very individualistic society, we like to make decisions for ourselves. But the idea of community, and this is part of, I think, part of the safeguarding, this is the evaluating what it is that we sense the Lord speaking and doing, is actually we learn to discern in community. So in Acts chapter 14 and 50, the church was dealing with some difficult issues and they're trying to figure out what to do. And it was the complex issue of that when someone who was not Jewish began to follow this Jesus, what was it that was expected of them? Did they have to, you know, abide by the law? Did they have to change their dietary stuff? Did they have to, you know, all these different things? And the church was wrestling with them. They're like, what do we do? And they came together and they were praying and seeking God and they were talking and they were working out what is God saying in this moment. And what's so wonderful about it is they came up and said, hey, we come up with two things. Number one, we just need to tell the Gentile Christians, like as they're coming in, you don't have to embrace this whole Judaism thing, but hey, you know what you need to make sure you're doing? Is avoid sexual immorality. Like, okay, check. I personally like short lists. Like, avoid sexual immorality. And the second thing was this. Don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. Like, those were the two things. And so the church came to this decision, and they said, great, this is awesome. Now we're going to send this information out. And this is what it says in the letter that they sent to the churches. And you can read this in Acts chapter 15. It says this. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I love that. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So part of this discerning of the Spirit happens not only within the guardrail of Scripture, but also within community. So for myself, There are spiritual people that when I make decisions in my life, that they're the people that I'm processing with. I'm like going, hey, I got this sense that this is direction. I got this sense. And so there's people that I talk with. We flesh things out. What's your sense? Because part of this discerning is discerning in community. Mature discernment is never isolated. It is shared, tested, and confirmed in the body of Christ. And this is why it's important for you and I to be part of the family of God. This is why it's important for us to engage not just in environments like this, but to share around tables, to sit in circles. So we grow our discernment by asking the question, sensitizing our hearts, evaluating our hearing, and I say lastly, simply growing in love. Paul's prayer for the church in Philippians was simply this: my prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. I love that. That your love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best. How many know that love helps provide a better foundation for discerning than just self? How many know sometimes we're like going, I know what I want, but then when you come to the filter of family, you're like going, it may be what I want, but it may not be what's best for family. And it's your love for your family that begins to help the evaluation process. Can I just tell you, we grow our discernment as we deepen our love for God and our love for others. And so part of this whole thing, like how do we do this? How do we grow? You see, love seeks what is best, not just what is acceptable. And my prayer is this: God, would you help us be people of the Spirit? Because how many know that our lives are the consequence of the decisions that we make? And if we can make better decisions, we're going to be able to impact our world in a better way. If we make better decisions, we're going to be better spouses and parents and children. If we can make some better decisions, we can make a difference in our world in a greater way. And this is why better discernment is going to lead to better decisions. Again, we don't journey through life alone. God wants to be a part of all of our moments. And we have to grow our spiritual sensitivity to increase our impact. And I know that in this room, there's lots of people who are facing decisions, and you're going through ups and downs, and you're dealing with moments. Can I just tell you, God cares. He sees. And he wants to provide insight through the Holy Spirit to help you move forward toward that which is good. And what we need to do is we need to learn to wait. So this is how we're going to end. Worship team is going to lead us in a song. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Worship team is going to lead us in a song. And then I just want to give opportunity, because maybe you're here and you're wrestling with moments. And this is what I believe. I said this earlier, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. How many know God is here today? How many know if we're followers of Jesus, not only is God here, but God is here. He's not just with us, he's in us. And I believe this, I believe that God wants to whisper to your hearts this morning. He wants to reaffirm some things. He wants to reveal some things. He wants to help some things. And so as we worship, it's our simple opportunity to just say, okay, God, I'm here just to listen. And maybe you're going through some moments, you're like going, hey, you know what, God, I just need to hear from you this morning. And maybe you want to come up and kneel at the altar. You're welcome to do that. Maybe you're the kind of person that likes to pray and wander. You're welcome to do that. But what I wanted, just for a few moments this morning, just before we close, is to take some time to allow God to speak into our moments. Because he sees the chaos, he sees the concern, he sees the hurt, he sees the frustration, and he wants to speak grace to you. So Father, we come into this moment knowing that you're here and that you care so deeply about us God, you see the frustration. You see the uncertainty. God, you see the decisions that need to be made. And God, we recognize that, Lord, sometimes we just struggle with this whole discernment thing. There are so many voices. Holy Spirit, we need your help today. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Lord, we need your grace to speak into our moments. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many here this morning would simply say, you know what, I'm wrestling with a moment, and I need God's grace just to speak into me, to help me discern just how to move forward, what to do, what to say. I just need his grace to meet me today. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. I see all those hands, those ones. Is there anyone else? And that one, thank you. That one. That one. Lord, you see these hands and you see these hearts and you know these situations. And God, I thank you that you're the God who steps into moments. And Father, I pray that you would help your people hear your voice this morning, that God, you would whisper grace. And God, I pray that you would help us honor you and live into your purpose. And God, we simply wait for you. In Jesus' name.